Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, we're here again, live. Yep, this is it. We're live. Welcome to the place. All right, we're here to be with you and to pray with you. We're going to take communion tonight. So let's get ready for that. And things going on, so... going to be praying for you and believing God with you for to be made whole in every area, can prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Give me just a second here. All right, so we're going to pray for you and believe God to bless you, bring you into the blessing of the Lord by the Holy Spirit. And hopefully you can receive it so you can be open to the blessing of God, because there's the time is at hand where all kinds of things are going to be going on, and you want to make sure that you're under the covenant blood of Jesus, that you're walking in obedience. And walking in the covenant isn't just being saved, not just being born again. Some people think it is. It's a lot more than that. It's simple. It's easy. But it's just about walking in the awareness that God is God, and you're not, and you obey Him, and you do it out of love. Because if you're doing it out of strict, you know, some type of religious law where you feel like you're trying to make Him happy by doing the good thing, instead of doing things, you know, out of the love of your heart and out of the joy of your heart. You know, not that we do everything. I don't do everything all the time perfectly. You know, I'm so happy about it and all that. You know, honestly, just in all truth. But I know that, you know, the way that you cure that situation in your life is you learn to find ways to love Him, to talk to Him, get to know Him. I know it sounds funny. People think you're talking to yourself, but you're not talking to yourself. You know who you're talking to. You're talking to the Lord. And in the world, the atmosphere of the world, the spirit of the world, especially as we move forward into this next season, this next era, we're going to find out that you know, the spiritual atmosphere of the globe is going to be, you know, who you talking to there, buddy, girlfriend? Who are you talking to there, girlfriend? Who are you talking to, woman? What are you talking to yourself? Are you crazy? And yet Satan knows who we're talking to. But it's the thing that he's going to convince the world of. He knows that our relationship with God is real. See, Satan knows that. He believes. And that's what makes him so dangerous, because he believes. If when you believe, you become dangerous. If you don't believe, you just kind of flop around, talk stuff. You know what you're talking about. But if you know something's real, and you're trying to destroy that, the most powerful way you can do that is by knowing that it's real. It says the demons believed and trembled. They knew who Jesus was. They were crying out through people saying, he's the Messiah. He said, oh, the devil doesn't know much. I don't know about that. I mean, I don't know what all he knows and what he doesn't know, but I know one thing. He believed when he saw the Messiah, Christ coming, he feared and trembled, because he knew, they knew that their time was up at least as far as being in those people that he was fixing to cast them out of. Right? Got to think about it. The most powerful deceiver, really, is one who knows and believes that what you have is real, but wants to destroy it. So it gives him the, what's the word? It gives him the instinct, if you will, and the ability to strategize against your mind. Because knowing how people, human beings, not demons, not devils, how human beings think, human beings, the devil convinces blind human beings that it's not real, God's not real. He's not really real. Oh, it's just something out there somewhere, but it's not really real. It's not for you personally. Because the whole thing that Jesus died on the cross for, friend, was a personal relationship. So the demons believed and trembled. They knew that Jesus was real. They knew. They cried out, "Thou art the Messiah. You are the Messiah. You know, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Don't torment us before our time." Why? Because they knew. And when they know, and people who are blind still don't know, what do you think they're going to do? They're going to use what they know is true to convince the people who don't know so that they never know. Do you understand what I mean? Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice." I mean, the whole thing that Christ died on the cross for, the whole purpose of what he died on the cross for, well, you know, there's a lot of purposes, but it's the fellowship with, it is in fellowship with God. So that we can talk with him, so we can listen to him, so we can speak to him. So, I don't know, I think you do it. I do it too. I talk to him. Sometimes I hear his voice on the inside of me clear, like I'm talking to you. It's not an audible voice. I've had the audible voice, I think, at least, I know once, and I think twice. You know, I mean, sometimes the voice of God is so loud in us that it seems like it's audible, but it's not. Not always. And I think, I don't know, it's really cool to have an audible voice of the Lord talk to you. He's called it my name before, and I've told you all about that. He didn't say anything. He didn't say, "Hey, you're really a cool dude, man." He didn't say anything like that. I wish he would have. That would have been nice, you know, but he just said, "Randy," just like that, "Randy." I could just, the only way I could identify that was when you watch the movie, you know, when God called out to Moses, "Moses," you know, I mean, seriously, that's they got that pretty close, because that's the way it was when he spoke my name. But the humbling part about it is when he said my name audibly. There was a friend of mine standing right next to me, a young lady I was friends with. At the got saved, got born again. We traveled down to Christ of the Nations and watched John Osteen preach back in the days of John Osteen, Joel Osteen's father. Derek Prince, some other people. EW Kenyon, it was, what's that guy's name? I can't think of his name. Anyway, awesome preacher. But they were there, and we had stepped outside in the parking lot and standing there by a car in the parking lot. And all of a sudden, I heard Randy, just like that, honest to God. It was so audible. It was no question as audible. And my friend sitting over there, I mean, I turned around and I said, because it so shook me, it scared me, sort of. I'm like, "Oh my God, what was that?" But it was like, "Where did that come?" I looked up, "Where did that come from?" And I said to her, I said, "Did you hear anything?" She says, "Yes, I heard my name." And her name is not my name, right? So I'm going like, how did God call out my name and her name at the same time? You know, I didn't ask her any, we didn't even talk about it anymore. It was so scary, you know. It was like amazing. I'd been saved for probably 6 months, maybe a year. I don't remember exactly, but something like that. And it was amazing. It was truly just like going, I wish I could find that person. I don't even know if they're alive anymore or not, but I would love to get them and let them share that here on the show. That'd be so cool. But anyway, yeah, so the voice of God is real. You see, friend, and that's because the enemy believes, and he knows that the reason Jesus, I don't know if he knows all the reasons that Jesus died on the cross, but he heard Jesus preach. And if you believe somebody's the Messiah, You know, if you believe, the demons believe more than people did, for the most part. Right? Because the Holy Spirit was trying to convince the people, but the demons already knew. They believed and trembled. Oh, yeah, friend. And because they believed, that made them a greater weapon. That made them a more powerful weapon because they knew their job was to deceive. Well, if you're deceiving somebody, you're not going to be telling them God's not real if you don't know he's real, right? You're going to be deceiving people by saying, I knowing God is real and knowing that he wants to talk to people, knowing that they were there in the Garden of Eden, right? Those demons were there. Those devils were there. Satan was there. They watched God come down and talk to them in the garden. They knew that this was what God wanted. And yet, so because of that, they believed and they knew. They've been alive all this time. They saw, you know, earth being created. They saw, you know, God and the Holy Spirit and the Word working together. You see what I'm saying? And that's what makes the devil and demons, I don't want to overrate him, but powerful in deception. Because if you know something's right and you hate the thing that's right, person that it's right about, what are you going to do? You're going to tell, oh, your daddy don't love you. You know how the devil does people. Oh, God doesn't love you. God doesn't talk to you. Who are you talking to, young lady, young man? Who are you talking to? You talking to yourself? Because they know who they're talking to. They know. Those demons know that we're talking to God, and they hate it because they hate him. Because you know what? Their eternal state. They cannot repent. Therefore, the only thing they can do is try to drag more people with them where they know they're going to go. They know they're going to go. They know, the scripture talks about that when they know their time is short. So what does the devil do? Deception is knowing something's true, knowing it's true, and convincing people, human beings, that it's not true. Oh, you're hearing voices. Oh, it's not true. Oh, God's not real. He doesn't talk to people. He doesn't love you. He's not going to heal you. You see what I'm saying, friend? Are y'all getting hold of this tonight? Anybody hearing this tonight? Because this is powerful. This is amazing. This is amazing information. I never even had this in my life. It got put together right as I'm coming on the show, right as I'm talking to you. It's coming out of my mouth. I'm hearing it for the first time as far as all the pieces of the puzzle being put together scripture-wise. You got to think about that. A deceiver is somebody who knows something's true. Because if he didn't know it was true, then he wouldn't be a deceiver, right? A deceiver tells you something that they know is true and tries to convince you that it's not. That's deception. If he was trying to convince you of something, oh, you know God's not real, that wouldn't be a deception. That would be the truth. He'd be saying the truth. God's not speaking to you. You can't hear from God. You're crazy. And they would be crazy if God was real. And the devil wouldn't be deceiving them. He'd be telling them the truth. But because he's a deceiver, friend, he's going to lie to you about your healing. He's going to lie to you about what God's going to do. He's going to lie to you about the prophetic. He's going to lie to you about the gifts. He's going to lie to you about speaking in tongues and the power of the Holy Spirit. He's going to lie to you about it because he knows it's true. He watched those disciples go from being wimpy little people who barely got anything done for Jesus on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came. They turned into these powerful, awesome men and women of God. They saw that happen. They watched that happen. They know how powerful the Holy Ghost is. They know that when the church started selling Jesus, how it opened up a door for them to come in and compromise the body of Christ. Oh, they didn't do it real quick. They did it little by little because they're smart. These people, these demons are deceivers. They know they're strategic. They know exactly how to do something, and you know every even, because once you catch, see, the reason they have to do it so deceitfully and so strategically and so slowly and so little by little so you don't recognize it and then pass it down to the next generation, and then the next generation does the same thing, merchandises or whatever, sells Jesus, and then their children watch it happen. It just becomes normal. That is the greatest thing the devil can do. Because if he made it abrupt change, if it was abrupt, then everybody would recognize, oh, did you see that? We went from having a good, clean, pure, wonderful, glorious church flowing in the Holy Ghost to a bunch of prideful, arrogant ministers of the gospel, you know, selling Jesus. You see, That's why he does it the way he does it. That's why some of you and some of me have believed that nonsense, and you still fight it. I know some of you still fight it. Not most of our PGM people don't, but we have a lot of people listen to us outside of PGM, friends. So when I'm talking, don't always take it like I'm talking to you. I'm talking to the whole world. I'm talking to the whole leadership of the body of Christ. So when you get a hold of this thing, you realize what deception really is. You're going to start getting a little bit closer to Jesus and start doing just the opposite of what they tell you. Because deception is they know that you have fellowship with Jesus. They know the power of God is real and wants to use you. And he convinced you, oh, you think you can prophesy to somebody? You can't prophesy to nobody because God, that's only for special people, they say. And so you fall for it. Why? Because they're extremely smart and strategic and know how to talk to human beings, to the soul, to the mind. They know how to talk to the mind. They know how the mind works. They've had plenty of time to experiment with minds through the years and years and years of working with men and knowing how their brain works. Our brains are given to us. We all got one kind of brain. We got men brains and women brains. Oh, that's not funny, but it sounded funny. Yeah, you hear what I'm saying? Come on, friend. Are you ready for the download of the Holy Spirit? Are you all ready for this? Are you all ready for treasures being downloaded from heaven? Are you ready? I don't know if you're ready or not. I don't know if I'm ready or not. I'm trying to be. But the revelation God's going to give us is people are going to be stealing our stuff and writing books about it so they can make some money off of Jesus' body. Body meaning the Word became flesh. The Word became flesh, became body. We eat his body. We eat his word. They're selling his body, friend. You got to understand what they're selling. They're selling the body of Jesus when they sell revelation of the Holy Spirit from the Holy Spirit about him. They're selling his body. This is a new strategy God's given me to communicate this even more clearly. As I told you, Jesus is going to speak plainer from what about a year, 6 months ago, a year ago, I told you, the message God gave me, when the disciples said, oh, now you speak plainly, the Lord says, I'm going to start speaking really plainly. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo, isn't that awesome? Woo! Hallelujah! Oh, my God, and this is part of that tonight. I mean, this is flowing from me like a river. I had not pre-planned, I hadn't pre-thought this. I didn't know what I was going to talk about tonight. I mean, we have a lot of things we could talk about, but what does Jesus want to talk about? What the Holy Spirit wants to talk about. He wants to reveal the body of Jesus. We're going to start talking about preaching and ministry and the power of the Holy Spirit as revealing the body of Jesus. And then when we eat the body of Jesus on communion nights, ooh, ooh la la, it's going to be awesome. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's going to be cool. It's going to be hot and all that, whatever you want to call it. It's not going to be lukewarm, that's for sure. Yeah, so when we eat his body, drink his blood, you think you need to be selling that stuff? Do you honestly think that them selling that, God's going, oh, no problem, you need money, yeah, sell my son's body, yeah, go ahead. I don't think so. Let me give you a scripture tonight. I did have this one down. I'm going to read it to you. 2 Corinthians. I might want to write this one down because it fits in with what we're going to be talking about. And again, for a few more years until everybody gets it. 2 Corinthians 2:17. Well, I looked at this. I've been wanting to talk about this for a few days, right? And because I, you know, saw this scripture, I thought it was really cool to talk about. It's a really cool thing. And so 2 Corinthians 2, and we're into Isaiah 22:22. And look at this. Look at this scripture, man. I mean, it's just, I'm kind of fitting the number in there, right? But it's still there. 2 Corinthians with 2 Corinthians 2:17. 17 means victory. So 22, treasure, a treasure scripture about even and it's even about money. Yeah, it's about money, and it's about merchandising. Watch this. Paul the Apostle is talking to the Corinthian church, trying to share the difference between real apostles and the people who aren't preaching. They're hyper apostles, hyper preachers, which we have a few of those. You know, I don't care. I don't care what anybody says about it. We're going to open up. We're going to open this thing up, and we're going to bring that out into the open, and with love and compassion, but with the roar of a lion. All right, 2 Corinthians 2:22, 17. We are not, Paul the Apostle says, we are not as so many peddling the word of God. Oh, my God, doesn't that just tell you? Yeah, we are not, Paul the Apostle is making it very clear, we are not as so many are, peddlers of the word of God. Look at that, y'all. I mean, come on. You know what peddling means? I just happened to look up, and I just looked up in the dictionary. I didn't Greek it and Hebrew it, but the dictionary's pretty. If you ever seen the movie about the guys who wrote the dictionary and words, you see how they got these words. And it's pretty amazing. Peddling. For we are true apostles. Are not as so many are peddling the word of God. Peddling, you know what peddling means? This is what you can look it up yourself. This is just, I mean, this has hit it on so hard. It scared me when I saw this because I thought this hits it so hard. It's unbelievable. It's peddling is the activity of selling an illegal drug or stolen item. Woo! Hallelujah. I mean, when I saw that, you look it up, it's just in the dictionary. When I saw that, the activity of selling a stolen item. In other words, God didn't say you could sell it, but they stole it, and they sold it. Yeah. The action of promoting an idea or view persistently or widely. The peddling of fear. Now, I'm reading this. The peddling of fear in a lucrative business. My God, doesn't that talk about the pre-tribulation peddlers of fear? We could call them pedophiles. Sorry. I know I get carried away. Pedophiles. They're pedophiling. They're peddling. Y'all see that? Okay, 2 Corinthians 2:2. So this is a treasure scripture. And I've had this there for a few days, maybe waiting for God to just, you know, I'm chomping at the bit. Okay, God, when do we get this word? This is amazing. You know, because Paul the Apostle is talking about the difference between, you know, true men of God and people who are preaching, you know, but not preaching under the power of the Holy Spirit. For we are not as many are. Who are peddling, they peddle the word of God as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, we speak in Christ. And peddling means, I love this part, man. I'm shouting this from the house up. The activity, peddling is, the activity of selling an illegal drug or stolen item. Remember when Judas is going to sell, you know, the alabaster box, the spikenard, it was so expensive. Yeah, he didn't care about the poor, it says, and that's so right on with so much of this stuff. It's just faking, phony bunch of nonsense. They do it as a show. I don't think they used to do it as a show. I don't think they used to peddle it. I think they did what their fathers did, but then it turned it into peddling. The enemy's such a good strategic person that he knows how to get you involved in something. If he knew everybody's going to see it, he blinds people by putting it in there so little by little, little by little. Oh, you know, that's the way we make money. Oh, that's the way we did. That's the way we did. It's just the way we always did it. My father did it. He was a preacher. He loved God. Yeah. Oh, yeah. What's the devil you? He appears as an angel of light. I'm not saying these men of God and their fathers were not of God, but he peddles something. The devil peddles. He's a pedophile, and he peddles things to children, to innocent youth, And it's just, that's just the way we do it. And they'll just argue and fight with you, even though it's not in the Bible. They will argue and fight with me. That's just the way we do it. You can hear tradition talking, that demon of tradition. That's just the way we do it. You got a problem with it? Well, God does. Yeah. So the deceiver is deceiving us. You know, and there's so many things, I think, that in the body of Christ that me, you, mainly the leaders, teachers and leaders of the body of Christ who have just received things because the people that brought them to us were good people. They weren't bad people. You think the devil's going to use bad priests? He's not going to use bad preachers and hypocritical phony preachers to pass something down. No, he's going to use people and give them a little bit of bad, just a little bit enough to, you know, work it. And everybody goes, it's just the way we raise money. It's the way we do things around here. That's the devil talking if I've ever heard it in all my life. All right. Hallelujah. Did we get off on that again? Yes. You know why? Because we're gonna expose the enemy for what he is. He's a thieving liar who peddles fear. And he uses precious men of God, convinces them from the time they're youth to preach this stuff, and they believe it so strongly that they'll swear up and down that it's God telling them, when it's not even in the Bible at all. At all. But some of the stuff kind of looks like it. What does Satan do? He makes things look like it. I've seen a lot of things that look like truth to me that I believe. I don't know about you, right? Come on, let's be honest. Let's don't condemn them, say they're bad people, we're good people. We're all in the same boat. If anybody has the true, pure truth in every area, you'd be so full of the Holy Ghost. You know, you'd be so off the charts with the power of God. So, you know, so don't tell me. Let's just be real. Oh, the reason that I don't have the power of God is because I'm not ordained to preach yet. I need to get my license. Or the reason I don't have the power of God yet is because I don't have enough time to pray. The reason that I don't have the power of God is that I'm still learning, and it's going to take a few more years for me to get a hold of it and learn how to do all this stuff. And then 20 years later, there's still no power. And they make all these excuses, and I've made them in my life, and you'll make them in your life until we wake up. Until we wake up. You and me. Let's not be pointing the finger at them. Let's look at you and me. Us. You and me. You and me. You and me. Let's not get on that thing. Sometimes I probably get on it. I don't know. But you know what? I'm going to let God, keep me from letting the enemy deceive me and give me approval to do things because it sounds good. And it sounds better. It sounds more safe. When really it's just a lie from hell. I've believed them. Other people have believed them. We're going to have compassion on one another. We're going to believe with one another for miracles, signs, and wonders. And mainly the purification of the church. That's what we're looking at. That's where God's taking us, is purifying us, cleansing Randy Chandler. Not all these merchandising preachers only. Randy Chandler, God is cleansing me, washing me with his word. The revelation of his precious holy word that I will not fail of the grace of God ever in my life again. And say, oh, we sell Jesus' body because that's just the way we make money. That is pathetic. It is sickening and sad. Thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for bearing with us as we work through everything God's trying to help us understand. Thank you for drawing the revelation of the Holy Spirit, the drawing out of me the body of Jesus. You see, this is what's going to really be cool about this understanding that we're moving into, calling it the body of Jesus, because it's the engrafted body of Jesus. And remember James talks about the word of God being preached and ministered to by the apostles as the engrafted word. What's the engrafted word? That's living flesh. That's his body. So when we start realizing, friend, that we're preaching And when you're preaching by the Holy Spirit, only by the Holy Spirit, you are releasing and implanting the living flesh of Christ the Messiah into people's lives. And it's the flesh, it's the Word. The Bible talks about the Word became flesh. Y'all hear that? The Word became flesh. Isn't that beautiful? The Word, the spiritual Word, the Spirit, God was Jesus, or Christ, who before he became Christ and Jesus, he was God the Word. And God the Word was spirit, not flesh, not body. And then he, through the birth of Christ in the Virgin Mary, the Word of God became flesh. His body is his Word, friend. We got to get a hold of that, man. This is amazing. His Word, when we preach and we're preaching by the Holy Spirit, we're prophesying by the Holy Ghost. We are releasing the living, breathing body of Jesus into the body of Jesus. Hallelujah. Pato se gringo, pande binropo fariga, caloxes que enrique sembrando por canto pavá. We are releasing the Word of God, the living Word, because when the Holy Ghost, what does the Bible say? It's the living, breathing. The Word of God is alive. If it's alive, what is it? All these other scriptures talks about, it's the body of Jesus. So when we eat in communion, that's a type and shadow of what literally is. It literally is. Becomes literally the body of Jesus. And when we preach the gospel, when we do that by the Holy Ghost, it becomes the engrafted body of Yeshua, the Son of the Living God. And that's when people are going to get healed. It's not going to be by great preaching. It's going to be by Holy Ghost revelation, revealing the body of Jesus. So when you sell the body of Jesus, when you start talking about selling the body of Jesus, and they're selling the body of Jesus, and you start seeing it like that, you're not going to touch that stuff. You're going to think this is pathetic, this is sickening, this is sad, this is gross. How can you sell the revelation of the body of Christ, the Word of God? How can you sell that? Cannot sell that and keep walking with Jesus. You cannot. You will veer off. You will veer off. And you will open yourself up to eventual, even physical death, where the enemy can take you out, snag you, before God can turn you around. Did it with Marcus Lamb. Precious person. He didn't listen. That's just as plain and simple upfront as I can get it, being compassionate and loving and telling you the truth. If you still love me, you better. You better. I hope you do. So thank you tonight for being with us. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for calling in during the week and talking with me and sharing with me your life and letting me pray for you on Wednesdays. I simply love it. It's just, you know, people who understand it, they're arrogant and their pride say, oh, how come you want to call in for the impartation of the flesh of Jesus for? You don't need the flesh of Jesus imparted to you that often. That's sick. That's, you have a problem. Like they're saying, like, how often do you need the Word of God? I don't know. We're supposed to live and breathe and eat it and drink it and, you know, I don't know. Come on, man. I mean, my gosh. Who's that talking? What demon is that talking? I think it's like a religious spirit. I mean that literally. It's the body of Jesus and hates the fact that when we talk to him, we're fellowshipping with him, that we're talking to the Son of the Living God. Oh, yeah. All right. Good to be here tonight. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for everything you guys do to help us here at PGN. We really do appreciate it that you're doing God, you're blessing God, you're blessing the body of Jesus. You're blessing those servants that administer the Holy Word of God.
right? And it's really awesome. Breaking bread together. Breaking the body of Jesus together. We're going to do that right now. So I want you to get ready, if you would. Let's break the body of Jesus. Talk about him. Release him. Understanding that we're not just talking about some ghost or some holy hidden thing. No, we're talking about our Messiah, our Lord Jesus, who gave us the ability to become like him, to have the engrafting, literally, of his body in by the Spirit of God into our bodies, where we become in the image and likeness of Yeshua. We're us, but we're us in Christ, right? Yeah. What a revelation tonight. Oh, my gosh. Thank you, Jesus. What a revelation tonight. We give you glory, Lamb of God. Whoa. I honest to God, I'm just kind of getting a hold of that message, and I would like to go with it a little bit longer, maybe like all night long, because it's flooding my mind and flooding my spirit. Whoa, and I haven't taken a chance to study that yet because I hadn't quite gotten that portion of that. Stand at all. I'm just telling you what God's speaking to me. Yeah. We're looking for property. We're looking at property again. I have real estate people and friends sending me, a couple of friends that send me real estate. They're looking for us, you know. I got one friend, a couple of friends look for us, other than a real estate person, looking for us for a place, and found some really cool places. They're expensive. One of them's like $2 million something, you know, but nice. Saw one today, about $2 million. I can have the price right in front of me, but it was in the $2 million something. So I think we look at that as a lot right now because, of, you know, we get in like $1,200, $2,000 a week. You think that's a lot. Some of you think that's a lot, but in all truth, okay, people ask me, how do you make a donation? I can definitely help you with that one. Thank you for asking. Thank you, and I will get that to you. I'm going to send you a link. All right. In fact, it's like Robin, some things have changed. And thank you very much for that. And we receive it. Thank you for giving. If you need that link sent to you, PayPal link, we have three different ways to give. Maybe, probably more than that. But you can give through PayPal, and I can send you that link. I'll send you the PayPal link. If you want that, you can text me at 214-505-8719. And I will send that link to you, and you can click on it on your phone or copy and paste it onto your, you know, your computer, whatever you want to do. You can go to it on your phone. And then we can get that link to you, of course. Also, you can go to, if you have a cell phone, to your app store and look for an app. We have an app. It's under Randy Chandler. And it's a PGN app, but it says Randy. You search for it under Randy Chandler, maybe even PGN, and then you look for it. And the app doesn't have my name on it, but it has PGN on it. It's kind of a bluish with a red ring around it. Go to your app store, do that, and you can give through the app. A lot of people like to do that, and you can also send a check if you want to send a check or send cash in the mail, whatever. Maybe some of you have done it lately. If you sent cash in the mail, I haven't been at the office. I haven't been at the post office in a couple of weeks, actually, so because I'm out of town. But if you can let me know how much you sent, I would love to pray over it. The only reason I want to know how much is because that's just the way I do it. I like to pray over the amount. It's not like bragging or anything. It has nothing to do with bragging on what you've given. It's because, like, Jesus prayed over the woman who gave the two mites. He said how much she gave, and he said, this woman has given two mites, more than all the other wealthy people have given, rattling their big money around. And he named her money. So, I don't know, there's other things too, that scriptures that we use. That's one of my favorite ones. And so we love to say the amount, because I think saying the amount over your prayer has something to do with specifying your blessing on it. So, you know, that's the way I think about it. So there we go. All right. You can send a check. If you need that address, you can text me also, 214-505-8719, and I will send that address to you. All right. And if you send it to me, let me know, because I'm not going to be there. I think I might be there this weekend or maybe next weekend, trying to figure out, because when we look at some properties that I've got on my, you know, through emails and text and that kind of thing. So I'm going to be in town. So if you want that, you can send that. Or if you sent money there, let me know how much it is. Okay, let's get ready to take communion if you want to do that with me tonight. We would love that. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Okay. Okay. Get ready for communion, friend. I'm going to be doing a couple things here. Get ready for that, so prepare yourself. Good. And we will do that. Thank you for your love for God. When you give out of love. Give out of love for Him. I know you may love us, love what we do here at PGN, and thank you for that. And we're glad you love it, love us. But do it, you know, do it also mainly love for Him. And it seems like things just do better when we do it out of love for Him, right? You guys know that. Nothing new here. Okay. I'm having a little internet issue, so give me a second here. All right, there we go. Now we're on. Okay. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Checking all the offerings, making sure I'm getting them in. Thank you so much for giving tonight. Okay. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. All right, we're getting ready here to take communion. We do together. If you have, if you've been born again, and even if you have sin in your life and you want to get rid of that sin, you have a problem with sin, you know what? Communion is the greatest thing you can do. Communion is about, it's kind of like getting saved in a sense. It's like you receive Christ as a sinner, right? But you're receiving Christ as a sinner. Right, you're full of sin, you're a sinner, because you want to get right with God. You want to be right. So it's the same thing with communion. You may have sin in your life, but you want to get it right. You want to get it cleansed. You want to get it, you know, delivered from your life. So that's why you take it, right? To help you get free of that. So it's really beautiful. So think about it like that. I think it'll help you out a lot. you want to give tonight, you don't have the link for that, we would be more than happy to get that link to you. Just text me at 214-505-8719, and I will text you the link, and you can get on your phone there and do it. Do it out of love, because you want to. You don't have to. You don't have to do it to get ministry. You don't have to do it for any reason. Just it's free. Our ministry is free. Giving to the Lord Jesus and to his church leadership. So do it as unto him, and you will be blessed. I guarantee you that. I guarantee you that. All right, let's get ready to take communion. I have the scripture here, 1 Corinthians 11:23. My internet's a little bit slow, so just give me a little bit of time here. All right. If you have your cup there, your communion is just together here. Paul the Apostle was confirming in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23, that communion is something that the church takes today and is powerful for us today. That's why he says right here, verse 23, for I received, Paul the Apostle received from the Lord what he also passes on to us. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body. This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Wow. All right, let's do it, friend. Let's partake. Precious Jesus, sweet Lamb of God, precious body of the Lamb of God, how we give you glory and we give you praise for your body in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Lord, we lift up the cup. Thank you for your precious blood that you gave. All right, in the same manner, he took the cup. He said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as you drink it in remembrance of me. We drink from it. Thank you, precious Lamb of God, for your precious, precious blood. We treasure your blood, Lamb of God. We treasure you, Jesus. We do not sell you. We do not cheapen you by using your body and your word to make money. We trust you that you are our provision. We trust you, sweet Jesus, that you will take care of us. You do not have to sell your body. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Lord, I speak healing. I speak the body of Jesus engrafted into the hearts, the soul, the spirit, the mind, the body of everyone listening tonight in Jesus' name. Whatever you lack, whatever you need healed, whatever you need delivered, may the very body of Jesus, may the flesh of Christ be engrafted into your life, heal you and deliver you, make you whole. Anything that's been eaten up or destroyed in your body, may the Holy Spirit engraft the living bread, the living flesh, the living body of Jesus. Amen. And bring you to life in the name of the Lord. Bring you to life in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Be healed. Be delivered. Be cleansed and be washed by the blood of Jesus, by the word of God. In Jesus' name, I rebuke every devil and Satan, your lying devil, in Jesus' name. We receive the body and the blood of Jesus. Whatever the word of God, the living body of Jesus says to us, the word of God says to us, the word of God speaks to us, we will listen and we will obey. we will obey only one shepherd, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank you for his under-shepherds, Lord. And we give you glory for them, Father. Like Paul the Apostle said, for unlike many, we do not peddle the word of God. Amen and amen to that. 2 Corinthians 2:17. Amen. Amen. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We're going to pray over offerings now. Thank you, everybody, for giving. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Cold in Texas tonight. Went out walking before the show to get my energy flowing. And, it got cold. I had to stop, get a coat. Another coat. Yeah. All right, get ready. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Thank God tonight. We're going to pray over you tonight. Hallelujah. All right, let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for Karen tonight, $5. She says, bless our year. That's how she put a little note in the text. Thank you, Jesus, for that $5 for Karen, Father. We thank you, Lord, for doing just that very thing, blessing her year, causing her year to yield to the ear, that she will know that the ear of God listens to her voice, listens to her prayers, listens to the frankincense and the myrrh and the incense that flows up from her lips and from her heart, God, a sweet-smelling savor into the very nostrils of God, into the very ears of God also, in Jesus' name. He hears your cry, Karen, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sally from UK London. Thank you, Sally. Thank you for that, for your email. And I've been really listening to what you're saying. And thank you for that. Thank you for that $17. We just bless you. In Jesus' name, Father, I thank you for the communion of the Holy Spirit with Sally, Father, that you increase and multiply her knowledge, that you will begin to engraft the body of Jesus, the word of the living God, engraft the word that saves her soul, that causes her to see things she's never seen before on a regular basis from glory to glory, not just a one-time shot, but when we walk with the Lord, we walk with Jesus, somehow, some way or another, our ears are going to hear his voice speak to us life and words of life. Hallelujah. Breathe into her nostrils a breath of fresh air of life in the name of Jesus. Jesus breathed into the disciples and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Breathe into her nostrils, God. Hallelujah. Breath, 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 the breath of God, the breath of God, the breath of God. Refresh, renew. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. May the word of God come alive inside of you, Sally, living in you like a living being, like a living person. Jesus is a living person. And when you get his body engrafted in yours or receive the living word of God, you're receiving the talking Jesus, right? The listening Jesus, the answering prayer Jesus, more of him and more understanding more who he is. Let it be done, Father, in Jesus' name. All right, Sandra, $30. Thank you, Sandra, for you and your husband. We thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing, Father, in Jesus' name, for Robert. God, we thank you for the hosting of your, that Sandra and Robert host Jesus, host the name of Jesus, host the things of God, Father, as they entertain angels and entertain obedience to you, Jesus, and that you that they walk in the light of the glory of God, as Adam and Eve was called to walk in the light of the glory of God, to bring forth fruit of all kinds. Thank you, Jesus, how to work in the earth, to make the earth complete and blessed, and to, you know, the earth is really supposed to be and going to be one day the tabernacle of God. Yeah, it's going to be, heaven is coming to earth. And we're, and like we've been hearing lately, we're going to get a new heaven and a new earth in the earth. It's amazing. And so what we do is we learn how to, that's what our job is in life, Sandra and Robert. As you know, we're here to learn how to prepare for that moment when a new heaven and a new earth. And God rewards us with what we've done here with a sinful world, with a sinless Christ inside of us, listening to him, obeying him, and doing what he says to us as he speaks to us about the things of the earth, how we treat them, how we understand them, that we see through the eyes of God, start dealing in business and do everything to each other and for each other the way he would do it. And when we do that, the rewards that we're going to receive from that, you guys, are going to be given to us in the future. Some of them we'll receive now, but the bulk of everything, the fullness of it all, the unlimitedness of it all, is going to be revealed in the future. Hallelujah. It talks about the hundredfold that we receive in this lifetime and the life to come and the world to come. In this lifetime, a hundredfold, and the world to come. In Mark, I think, 10, chapter 10, verse 30, I believe. I might Google that. All right, Nicole, $42.11. Thank you, Nicole, for that, for the new generation, Father, of bringing forth a new generation, Father, through her. That however you choose to do that, a new generation, a new generation, a new generation, putting that generation in order, that God, the order that God has, instead of the order that, you know, religion and tradition have done, that we will break free of religion and tradition to hear the voice of God and to impart to a generation, Nicole, the pure living word of God. Amen, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. May the spirit of revelation flow through you. May the spirit of revelation impart to you the living word, the living body of Jesus. Amen. So people can eat it and drink it, partake of him. Hallelujah. We feed them our flesh. It's kind of rough, right, compared to Jesus. And our flesh is, you know, his flesh was never sinful, always pure. His body was always pure and clean. He said, eat my flesh and drink my blood, and you'll have life. Wow. We preach and teach the word of the living God to do that very thing. All right, Noel, $50. Thank you, Noel. Jesus' name. Thank you for what you're willing to believe and willing to conceive of the Lord. All right? And God has given you the ability to conceive truth and to conceive and receive, you know, the thoughts of God. All right, so God's opening up your life to that, to conceive. You know, when you conceive something, it means it becomes yours. And when something becomes yours, you can't lose a battle. Most of where we lose the battle is that when we receive information, but it's not ours yet. That starts out not being ours. That's part of the process. Jesus gave Peter the word, let him know who the word was, right? But so what happened is that he, you know, spoke the word to him. He spoke the word to him. He was the word. He gave him the word. He preached it. He talked it. But then it became his when the Father revealed it to him. The Father is the one who Jesus said, I'm going to tell you now. pretty soon, the Father's going to tell you, yeah, you're not going to pray to me any longer. You're going to pray to the Father. Why? Because the whole job of Jesus and the fivefold ministry is to connect people to the Father so that he is the one who makes Jesus real. Hallelujah. And Jesus being made real brings us into total victory. No defeat. In Jesus' name, God is breathing it into your spirit in the name of Jesus. No defeat. Amen. None. In Jesus' name. That's our goal. Hallelujah. No matter what comes our way, the thousands shall fall at our side, 10,000 at our right hand, but it shall not come near our dwelling, our dwelling place, for we shall look and see with our eyes the reward of the wicked. Right? Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for bringing Paulette into the place of speaking those things that are not as though they were, not just to do it for a religious reason like I used to do, because I was taught it whenever I tried to do it, but under the inspiration of divine revelation from heaven, that you make it real to her, God, that as she speaks your word, begins to declare and decree your word, that through her you will create, you will do the creating, but it will be in her particular life. When God uses our words to speak over our lives and over our children's lives, those words, because they're coming through your mouth, will be potent and powerful for your family, economy, and for your finances and for your prosperity, to take care of the needs, have no fear of the future, no fear of failure. Amen, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. But an inheritance. Here's the thing, Paul. God's going to give you an inheritance to pass down to your loved ones. You know, even though you may be here for when Christ comes, but you're going to, that inheritance, God's going to, you know, going to stack it up for you, right, so that you can have it to pass down to whoever you want, the poor and the needy, your family. But he's going to give you an inheritance from him. Amen. $5.55. Thank you, Chris, for that. We just bless you tonight. I thank you, Lord, for the freedom and liberty, God, you're giving Chris to hear your voice, to understand your word, and to do it, and how you're going to connect him to the word of God. You're going to connect him to people in the scriptures, like David, like Joseph, you know, like Moses. Like when you start identifying with the men and the women of God in the Bible, that's not an arrogant thing. That's the way God designed it. You know, somehow, some way, we find who, you know, these people in the Bible, we find things that are like into what we have and see and feel. We identify with them. That's not an arrogant thing. That's not a, oh, he's crazy. That's the reason God did things the way he did. Every human being in the Bible, like Elijah, the Bible talks about Elijah as being a regular guy. If a regular guy can do it, James says, then how much more, you know, how about us? We can do it too. Right, because the whole Bible is about being able to identify with Elijah. Right, being able to identify with Enoch. Identify with, you know, Samson. And identify with all these people. We identify with them. Therefore, the learning becomes more fun because you're actually connecting to it. So don't be afraid and let the enemy lie to you. Oh, you're not supposed to connect with them. Yes, you are. That's what they're there for. Amen. And God's going to show you how to walk in that. And it's going to make the word of God more identifiable to you as you go along stronger and stronger. Amen. We're not going to back down. Oh, who do you think you are trying to say you're like Moses or Elijah or, you know, Enoch or, you know, somebody in the Bible? How dare you do that? No, that's why it's there, man. They're human beings just like us who decided to obey God. And therefore, God did great things to them. Amen. Sarah, 65. Sarah, I just found your, what's the name of that? Generosity. It's like an app or something. It's like a system that you give through. They just sent me that money. They just sent that to me. I know some of this money I've prayed over already, but it all added up to $65. Thank you for that. generous. The people who run that that system called me up. I just happened to answer my phone. I hardly ever answer my phone when I don't know what the number is. I answered it. Said, hello. He said, this is generous. Are you Mr. Chandler? I went, maybe. Who am I talking to? And they said, we have some money to send you. I said, yes, it is me. It is me. Yeah, and so they said they're going to send it in a check here. I may have it already, I'm sure, but yeah, really, really cool. I was not aware of that system. Thank you for that, Sarah. God bless her, that $65, in Jesus' name. Impart your wisdom to her, Father, how to connect with her child, to connect with people in general. There's something about learning how to connect with people. Jesus had favor with God and man. People identify with Jesus, and there's a reason why the Holy Spirit has that happen, because he wants us to identify with people. Christ identified with people, and they identify with him. So there's something about the connection with that and how that we can relate to people, because when you relate to people, you don't, you're better than them or less than them. You're just like them. They're going like, oh, you're like me. I can relate to you. Right? And God giving you the ability to do that, Sarah, in a beautiful way and make you a more powerful witness for Jesus. Yes. Hallelujah. All right. Somebody gave, I forgot. Yeah, I'm going to put that at the bottom. Andrea gave, but it's a very short train of offerings. We'll put it down there. Thank you, Andrea. We'll get that here in a little bit. Thank you so much. All right. Then Sarah. Then Daniel. Daniel. All right. Yeah, Daniel is Bianca's father. Thank you, Daniel. Thank you, Bianca, for that. And we just pray tonight, dear Jesus, over Daniel and Bianca. Thank you, Lord, that you're going to give them favor, Father. We thank you, Jesus, for we break off the spirits of oppression that try to oppress. Oppression tries to, we live in the world, right? We live in the world. We're not of the world, but we're in the world. And while we're in the world, we have all kinds of things come against us. And the enemy tries to connect us with all the wrong things, like, oh, this is going to be you, that's going to be you. So God's having you disengage yourself and be sanctified and set apart from, you know, even though we have the same things happen to us that regular people have to them, we also have a different thing going on. We have the power of Jesus, where we can, you know, get sanctified and set apart from going down the same path they go through, maybe, you know, sickness or disease or, you know, financial issues or whatever the thing is, family issues. Yeah, everybody's got those things going on. You know what? In Christ, Bianca and Daniel, we are separated out into Jesus, to where we have the power to be separate and not go down the same path. That stuff may hit us, but we conquer it. That stuff may come against us, but we get the victory over it through Christ Jesus. Amen. And I'm declaring and decreeing in the name of Jesus, Daniel and Bianca, in Jesus' name, you are sanctified. You are set apart by the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, to be a blessing unto Jesus. Hallelujah. Blessing, 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 blessing. Sanctified and set apart in the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. All right, Angel of Joy gave $88.88 and then gave $20.22 for 2022. Yeah. Yes, for new beginnings, for whole new creations. You know, I really believe in God, Angel of Joy, for you in Georgia and that whole thing that there's like God wants to do a brand new thing. We're pioneering something brand new. God is pioneering something, and he's looking for people who are not caught up into tradition. We may have some tradition that God's going to, you know, little by little wash from us and cleanse us all from. I know he's doing it with me. But he's wanting people like pioneer people, like apostles, if you will. Apostles are pioneers of people. I've been called an apostle before. I don't really get off on the names of all that stuff, but apostle means, you know, you're pioneer. You do something brand new. And you make sure people understand that this is a brand new thing. Paul the Apostle always said, I'm not like them. Unlike them, we don't peddle the Word of God. If they peddle the Word of God, that's a whole different gospel. That's a whole different thing because they're peddling the Word. They're selling it. We don't sell the Word of God. We don't peddle it. No, we don't peddle fear. We don't peddle it. And he always made it clear that the distinction is a joy from him and the other guys, right? So they were Christians. They, you know, loved God. Some Christians try to be apostles when they're not. They try to be great men of God or great women of God when they're not. And because they try to be that, they mess up. So God has to say, hey, I'm setting you apart, cleansing you, washing you, and to pioneer a brand new thing, to begin a brand new thing. But thank you, Lord, that I'll behold all things. Corinthians, what talks about 5:17 or something like that. Behold, all things become new. Yeah, and that's what I'm hearing the Spirit of God say. He's designed you for, built you for, amen, and created you for. Is to create, is for God through you to create a brand new thing. Now, it's not brand new. It's the Word of God, but it's brand new for our generation, right? Right. So when we look at the Word of God, you go, that's the Word of God. How can that be brand new? Right, exactly. True. But it's brand new to our generation. Much of it's going to be brand new to our generation. It's going to be awesome. God's called you to that. All right, and drink of $50 for ESW Auto Sales and $50 for family. Thank you, Lord, for Tyreek, $10 of that. We just bless you, Tyreek. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for giving Tyreek confidence that he can trust you, that he's a trustworthy person. You're making Tyreek a trustworthy person from God's perspective, not just human, not just a human level, but from God's perspective, where people look at Tyreek and go, you know, you can trust him. You can have confidence in him and cause his name to be made known as a person you can trust and have confidence in. Amen, in Jesus' name. And Torrey, Father, thank you for Torrey, $10. Thank you, Torrey. Thank you, Jesus, for Torrey, that I see Torrey being able to convince people of things, like a salesman, in a sense, like a salesman, but being able, you know, the Holy Spirit says he will convict or convince. The word convict means to convince. And Torrey's going to have this, unusual, you know, ability to convince people of things, to sell them on things. You know, tell them, hey, you can do this, this will really be good for you, and it will, you know, to truly convince them. And speak to them about the things that are true and right, and they're really going to go for it. That's really important. All right, Andrika, $15. Thank you, Andrika. Thank you, Lord, for special miracles in her life. I thank you for the realm of special miracles, Father, in Jesus' name, where you do special things. You know, special things. We always need people that do special things. Specialists. Oh, what do you do? Oh, I'm a specialist in carving wood. I'm a specialist in, you know, auto mechanic. I'm a specialist in whatever the thing is. Be a specialist. You know, special miracles are like special things, things that stick out that are above and beyond what other people do. I thank you, Lord, for that, and that calling in her life in Jesus' name. And Lord, for Chris, Lord, we thank for Chris tonight. Thank you for that $15. Chris, in Jesus' name. And thank you for opening Chris's heart, God, to be a developer, to develop things, to develop ideas, take things that maybe other people have and develop them. Maybe he'll get them, maybe he won't get them, but he will develop them and make him a developer, Father. Open up the developer part of him to take something and work it, you know, and put it into action. Make it happen. You know, when he comes up with the idea or somebody else comes up with the idea, to be able to develop a thing. A lot of people get a good idea, they don't really get developed. Open that up to supernaturally, God. Increase him in that area in Jesus' name. All right, Nikki and Charles, $50, and then they gave $20, and they gave $30, and they gave $25. Amen. Thank you, guys, for that. Yes, that's $125. Thank you so much for that. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. They want to pray for Joshua and Christian, their grandchild Christian, and their son Joshua, Nikki's son Joshua. Thank you, Lord, for Joshua. God, I thank you, Father, for your love for him. I thank you for letting him be a love child. That when he as he steps into Jesus, as he steps into God, he steps into love, that he's going to be a revealer of love. that when he thinks about things, it's going to be about love. He's known about hate. He's seen hate. He's seen what hate can do, how it can destroy, how it does wrong things, how it believes the wrong things, how it moves on the wrong things. God, he will be moved and inspired by the love of God. Amen. And for Christian God, we thank you for Christian God to keep him and cover him, Father, protect him and keep him from the wicked one, that he will be a servant of God, a server of the Lord, or he will be the fan that blows, you know, blows away the chaff. The chaff is stuff that's not good, the stuff that is, you know, no good, the chaff, you know, the wind blows the chaff away, the things that are worthless, and only thing that remains is the good things, the seed, the important things, the things that cause life to grow and multiply, thoughts and important things, the way he thinks and the way he calls other people to think, to blow away all the chaff in their minds, in Jesus' name, and let them be left with what produces life. Amen. All right. Sue, which is Nikki's mama. Well, we thank you for Sue in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, we just bless Sue. And we thank you, Father, that you, you know, as you, you know, do a miracle in her life, Father, we thank you for the miracle ran for her. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, that you're as you open her mind, as your God sometimes goes into through circumstances, through difficult circumstances and situations, and he opens up the mind, he cracks the mind a little bit so he can plant some word in there, so he can plant some ideas in there, so he could, you know, break into the system, and that you're breaking into that system in her mind, God, in a more beautiful way and causing her to think in new ways. You know, when you get older, you don't like to think new ways. It's hard to think new ways. But I thank you, Lord, she will have a desire to have, think the new thoughts, and that you will bring her new thoughts about who God is and what's going on, how to treat people, how to deal with people. Father, that she will walk in that in Jesus' name. And Robbie, thank you, Lord, for Robbie. We thank you, Lord, that you are opening up Robbie to a pathway, to a new path. In Jesus' name, that the old paths, you know, that pass away. Behold, the new begins, and I thank you, Lord, for Robbie. God, you bring Robbie into the new thing. Show him the new. Show him the freshness and the beauty and the purity of new, the new from God, the new from Jesus. Amen. Where he really realizes that the old is like old and, you know, not of little value, but the things of God are beautiful and they are, you know, precious. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. In their land. We thank you, Lord, for their land, God. We thank you for Nikki and Charles' land, Father, that you impart to them the faith that is within them for their land. Comes strictly from the covenant we have with God. Not a special thing. Oh, maybe I'll be special and God will give me land. Right? No, you know that. You know better than that. You know that's not true. You know that it's part of our covenant. It's part of our God-given desire. And God wants it more than we want it. And we know we want it, right? Yeah, because we want our own home. We want a place. The reason we have a desire, you have a desire, Nikki and Charles, to plant yourself and to have your home in a place you can call home, is because that's what God put in us. He put it in every one of us. And it's part of what Jesus died on the cross for. And I thank you, Lord, that not only will Nikki preach that and prophesy that over people, but they will see it happen in their life. In Jesus' name, and Charles, bringing people to the Father. When you bring people to the Father, when you bring them to the Father of life, what they see is the everydayness of God. It seems so everydayish, but in all truth, as we've said many times, you know, the trees and the grass, they didn't used to be, just like the earth didn't used to be. When God spoke through the Spirit and spoke things into existence, what we look at is a creative miracle. It's a creative miracle. That's why creative miracles are always before us every day. We just don't see it. And God, he will use Charles to open up the eyes of people so they will see that all this earth, everything, it didn't used to be, and then one day, it was. So how much more can we believe God for the, and let it be? Amen? The creative power of God. Amen, in Jesus' name. And the everydayness of God wanting to have houses and homes, because he gave all the land and the property and the trees and the stones and the rocks to build them. Amen, because that's what he wants. It's his design for us. It's his purpose for us. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, Donald and Tanya, $115. Thank you, Donald and Tanya, for that. Thank you, Jesus, for Donald, Father, for the grace, God, to begin to plan by the Holy Spirit, to let the thoughts that are in him, the desires you've given him. Because the Bible says when we start doing things by the desires that God has given us, that means it happens because and easier, it happens easier, and it happens more, more simple because it's our desires, right? But our desires come from God. And when they come from God, the power behind that, the fact that it's our desire, that he gave it to us, and now it's flesh and bone with us, it's part of us, that's what makes it work. Amen. So I thank you for Donald and Tanya, God, that you have done that in their life, where they have craved this, and you put a desire in them to have their own name written on things, you know, as far as it be their job, their business, their money that they're paying, the checks they're writing out to people. Thank you, Jesus, that is a design from the Father in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. That is the purpose of God in them. In Jesus' holy name, let it be made real to them, God. Amen. In Jesus' name. All right, Jeannie, $200. Thank you, Jeannie. Thank you, Jesus, for Jeannie, Father, for the anointing and prosperity, the prosperity anointing, Father, that she begins to see how that works, how that functions. How that works and how that functions. And how to believe God, you know, hang on a second. All right. Okay, I messed that up. I did mess it up. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Hang on a second. Hang on a minute. Okay. All right. Yes, and praying for Jeannie. Good Lord for Jeannie. Yes. Thank you, Father, for that mantle that's upon her, God, to just be like. It's like what I keep seeing, Jeannie, is it's so, God is, your faith is so coming alive and so real that, you know, your heart and the desires of God's heart are so one that you realize that, it's like, I think Job was like, I think Job just knew that God wanted him to be blessed, and he knew it was God's will, he knew it was God's heart. It wasn't like Job was being greedy or being trying to be a special guy. He just really had a everyday, you know, relationship with God. He knew God. He talked with God. It was real for him. And he knew God wanted him to be blessed, so he was blessed. And it was just easy for him to say, God, I need $100,000 for these to build some pens and build some a barn and build some things and do it right, make it beautiful, make it, you know, because, Jeannie, God wants to use it and use you to make an example of what it's like for God to bless and for people to have just this regular, beautiful, not a hyper spiritual, goofy thing going on, but something like that every day. Is like, how do you get so blessed? Well, I'm just a regular old person, but I just believe God. Man, I give to God. I worship God. I honor God. You know what? And we just talk to each other, and he tells me what he wants. And I say, yeah, well, you know, we're going to take about $100,000 to do that, and we'll take another $100,000 to do that. And God goes, yeah, I know. No problem. And like, it just happens. It's so easy. And God used me as an example of how faith is really so simple and so easy. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Well, it's not some heavy-duty thing where we got to worry and have anxiety and stress and, oh, my God. So God bringing you into that place and making you a trophy, Jeannie, before the Lord about that. Amen. Because, you know, that's what Job was like, the person who, you know, he just really believed God. I mean, it was just people. He was such an important person in his city, in his community, because people would meet him at the gate and try to. And he would talk to everyday people. They stop and ask him questions. He was a counselor. He would talk to them and minister to them. I mean, he just loved, you know, doing what God wanted to do, and he was a beautiful example to this day of that. All right, Angela Lanham, $88.88. And I guess you mixed up with Angela Joy earlier. Maybe you recommended that. Thank you for keeping me straight on that. All right. Pray for Patricia from Georgia. Yes. And that wasn't Angela Joy that gave the $88. It was Angela Lanham. And sometimes I see things come in and out. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Angela, for letting me know. Bless you. You know, the kindness and the generosity of Jesus that God has put in your heart. Okay, you're welcome. I appreciate you, too. The kindness and generosity that God has put in your heart to share love and to see people that do well is really going to come back to you. And God's going to really open that up to you, because what you believe for others, what you wish and hope for others, the Bible says, to wish well for people, you know, and to those who do good, to you know, lift them up and go and praise God for them and go, man, what an awesome, you're really an awesome person, you know, and really lift them up and praise God for them and tell them what a great job they're doing, you know, and really wish well for people, wish good for people. That thing in you, that generosity in you, God is really going to exceed your generosity, the generosity that he's put inside you, to be a blessing. And so not just money-wise, of course, that too, but in business and to, like I just gave a word to Jeannie about Job, how Job shared his counsel and love and his business skills with people. Now, the problem is they would put their business skills into action, but they forgot about the love for God and the generosity part of Job. Right, so people try to put business principles into action from the Bible, but they forget about what activates it, what keeps it going. What gets it going is the love of Jesus, to love him. Job loved God. That's why it worked. It wasn't because he had great business skills. He had great business skills because he loved God. And God gave him those skills, but sometimes we forget that what makes the Word of God work is the love of God in us. And you have that generosity inside of you. God's really going to increase that. So we pray for Patricia, Father, in Jesus' name, that you increase her and multiply her, Father, that we bind the devil from destroying and trying to bring destruction and counteract the things that you're trying to do in her life, God. Because, like we talked about earlier tonight, Angela Lanham, I don't know if you were able to hear it, but we talked at the beginning of the show how that a deceiver is somebody. Satan is a deceiver, right? And why? What makes him so deceptive? Because he knows that God talks to people. He knows that God, Jesus, gave his life for people to talk to God and know God. So what does he do? A deceiver is somebody who knows that Jesus is the Christ. Thou art the Christ, you know. Why do you come to torment us? They knew who he was. They believed in him. And yet, you know, so deception is knowing that Jesus is Jesus and he came to help us. That deception is knowing the truth and lying to people and telling people. That's what deception is. Knowing the truth and telling people, you can't have that, that's not for you, God's not real, he doesn't love you, when they know that he does. The devils know, they believe and tremble. And so so I thank you, Lord, for Patricia, God, that you break out the spirit of deception in her, that she will be able to see the truth and love the truth and know the truth more than ever before, that she will increase and multiply in that like never before, God, that you're going to increase her and multiply her and cause her to understand, you know, that God has a design for her life, and that his design is the only thing that's going to work for her. It's the only thing she's going to love is the design that God has for her. And the only way we can find that design is to love him with all of our heart. Amen. That's how we find the design. It's not reading the Bible and uncovering the mysteries. It's loving Jesus with all of our heart. And then God reveals his purpose to us, right? Because we love him, not because we're, you know, somehow, you know, smart or something. Yeah, anyway, there you go. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Angela Manum, for helping me out tonight. I appreciate that. All right, Cheryl, $200. $200 and 22. Oh, yes. I said that was Bianca's. I said Bianca. I'm pretty sure I did. Maybe I didn't as possible. Thank you, though, for helping me out with that. No, Daniel and Bianca. I think I prayed for Daniel and Bianca together because I wrote her name right beside his offering. Anyway, I'm sure I probably messed that up, but thank you for letting me know. I mean, I really appreciate it. I do need lots of help, for sure. All right. Okay, thank you guys for helping me. I need lots of help. I really appreciate it. All right, Cheryl, $200 and 22. So she slipped the 22 in there. Good job, Cheryl. That's awesome. $200 and 22 cents. I love it. That's the 200. Like the 200-fold. Are you trying to believe God for the 200-fold instead of the 100-fold? Yeah, that'd be cool, wouldn't it? In 2022. Yeah, something like that. Anyway, I'll agree with you about that one. Amen. So thank you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you for this servant you've made, Cheryl. God, she's a servant. She wants to serve. She wants to serve you. She wants to please you. It's about pleasing the Father. You know, God has given you this real thing to please the Father. And I think one of the things that's going on maybe with your dad, that you're helping him and loving him and that's, you know, watching him and having compassion on him and seeing the good in him and all that. That is really awakening, I think, something from the Father inside of you. God is awakening the Father inside of you and the love of the Father and the Father's heart inside of you. And, you know, and really connecting that. Because the treasure that we have in earthen vessels is to know that God is our Father. And I see God, you know, I know he's your Father already, of course, we know that. But I see God becoming your Father in a way that you serve him. You're serving your Father, right? And I see you, in some senses, serving God, washing his feet. You know, washing the feet of Jesus, washing the feet of the body of Christ, and it's all connected to the Father and serving the Father. So there's this whole thing, Cheryl, God's awakening you, the beauty of this beautiful thing about serving the Father, loving, honoring the Father, enjoying the Father. And I know your daddy is not God, the Father, of course, you know, and I know you know that, but in case other people listening to this, we're talking about how that God connects our earthly fathers to the Heavenly Father and uses our earthly fathers many times to do something in our life, and that's what I see happening. It's very beautiful. It's very precious, and it's like it's kind of like a final thing, if you want to will. God's got a lot of finals to do in us, but one last final thing that he's doing in you is that thing about serving the Father, washing his feet, caring for him, by caring, in a sense, by caring for his body, the body of Christ, and knowing you're doing it as under the Father. You're washing the feet of the body of Christ. You're washing the Father. father's seat. You're washing the feet of Jesus. You're breaking the alabaster box and anointing his feet with the expensive spikenard. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Oh, my God, I felt that one. Chica Watero. Papa Malecho Candocha. Patrique, 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 Pleco, Shingreto. Hallelujah. My Jesus. That's what I hear you saying. My Jesus. And my Father God, and my Savior Jesus, and my Holy Spirit. Amen. He's mine. Lord, I don't know if you feel that or not. I feel it. Woo! Dear Jesus, dear Jesus, dear Jesus. Whoa, my God, that was awesome. Hallelujah. All right. Andrea, $5. Thank you, Andrea. Thank you, Andrea. Let's see, I'm sure I didn't forget anybody. Oh, there's Robin. Robin. I think I forgot Robin. Thank you, Robin. Give me a second here. Okay. Hashikopara. All right, yes, I'm still on. Sorry about that, you guys. I got somehow my battery went down. I wasn't paying attention. Okay. Okay, am I back on now? I think I'm back on now. All right, should be on now. Can you hear me now? Hello, hello? Did I lose you guys? Okay, there we go, yeah. Okay, thank you. Yeah, I did lose you for a second there. My internet, my phone battery wasn't even, I didn't even realize it was off. I mean, it just went off just like that. Well, thank you for that. Yeah, we're not finished praying yet. Thank you for being patient with us. Thank you for that tonight. Yeah, we did go off for a minute there. I apologize. Sorry about that. We are back on now. Hallelujah. Thank you. Took a minute to go. I had to get a new cord. What I was using wasn't working for some reason. So whatever that was. All right. And then we have Marie from Virginia, 25, and then Shannon, 10. All right, we are not through yet. Sorry about that, y'all. Give me just a minute here to regroup, if you would. Okay, grab 8, 10. All right. Give me just a moment here. I'm getting right here with you. All right. Okay, I think we're back. So, Robin, thank you, Robin, for that. Okay, I'll show you. All right, Robin, with Robin from Oregon. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for Robin tonight, Father. We thank you for a fresh new beginning with an anointing for you know, like debt free, like a lot of things, you know, debts, as you know, Robin, come in many different fashions and forms. They come financially. They come with debts between, you know, people, between people. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And that's not just forgiving our debt, money debt, but it is forgiving, you know, sins, things that people do against us, things that people misjudge us and don't, you know, and just do things. And I see the debts. I think I see like things going on in your family where debts are being forgiven. People are forgiving each other and, you know, coming clean with each other and starting to, you know, yeah, started to see and understand each other, and but I see new beginnings too. I see some things with new beginnings. You know, God's going to, you know, allow. Sometimes He allows us to go down a path to, like He did with Job. Job was one of the examples I use a lot. Joseph was another one where he felt alone. He felt by himself. He was seemed like he was ostracized from his family. Job was, in a sense, because his wife was rejecting him because, you know, she saw all of her children die. It was horrible. It was a horrible time for his wife. And she God allowed her to go through that so that Job would be alone, you know. And what God was doing with Job was He was bringing him to a whole new life, a whole new place. And so sometimes God does that to double us, to increase us. He'll allow sorrow. He'll allow, you know, sadness. You know, sometimes He separates us from people, if you will, to a certain degree. Like, even though Job and his wife were living in the same house, so to speak, they were separated in the sense that because there was so much that had gone on. She said to him, you know, why don't you just curse God and die? That just kind of tells you where they were at. It was a hard point, a hard time. And so God, at the same time, God used that, Robin, to bring you know, Job to a whole other place of brand new beginnings. And then, of course, God gave him a brand new beginning, literally. His children got killed, all that happened. But it opened the door for Job to have new beginnings, you know. We don't recommend that for anybody in his shoes, but in a sense, you can take that spiritual in some ways. And, you know, sometimes we have the death of a family in many different ways, between relationships, between people, and God has to come in and, you know, totally make new. And so He does it with marriages all the time. Sometimes marriages stay together, sometimes they don't. But, you know, it's like Job and his wife, they stayed together, but they were separate in the sense that because God allowed it. He was sanctifying Job, setting him apart to give him a new beginning. And He did. And boy, was it an amazing new beginning. And I thank you that for Robin, Father, for her family, for their situation, God, in the name of Jesus, that she will have new beginnings, Father. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. New beginnings. New beginnings. Amen, in Jesus' name. All right, Andrea, $5. Thank you, Andrea, for that $5. We thank, give God the glory for everything. I thank you, Jesus, that you're giving her the strength and ability to give you praise and give you glory and to treasure you, Jesus, above all things. That everything you've given her, everything you've blessed her with, that she treasures you, Father, in ways that she never had before, treasures your word, treasures her friendships, you know, treasures those things. Yes. Okay. Thank you, Robin. Thank you. God is, we're entering into a new era, and that new era is coming with a lot of different thinking and working on a lot of different things for a lot of us. It's happening globally. It's happening all over the place. So those who have an ear for God, Robin, are going to keep walking with Jesus in the sense of a new thing. And we're stepping into a new thing, a new land, a new place. Yeah, a new hope, new thinking, new everything. That's for all of us. So, yeah. All right, Andrea, thank you for that. $5. And we just, Jesus, we give you the glory for letting your glory rest upon her, Father, to, you know, treasure the things that you've given her, that you've blessed her with, Father, in ways that she never had before. I know she treasures them, but let her treasure them and with new links to the future, with new links to what's going to happen in the future, in Jesus' name. Marie, $25 from Virginia. Thank you, Marie, for that $25. Thank you, Jesus, for Marie. Thank you, Father, for bringing to pass your will, your purpose, your desires, Father, and that sometimes the reality of what God brings to us, you know, we hope and we dream. Some people, you know, oh, God, I want to be in the ministry. I just can't wait to get to the ministry. Get in the ministry, they go to Bible school, and they get in the ministry, and they go like, wow, I mean, this is harder than I thought. This is more different than I thought. But after a while, if they're truly called to the ministry, this thing they've been desiring and hoping and wishing for all these years, you know, at first it's kind of like a slap in the face, because even though it's exciting, at the same time you keep getting slapped, you know, slapped, like, well, what about the rest? So it's not quite what we always dream and think of at first. And then little by little, as we learn how to walk in the Lord in our ministries, learn how to work with God and learn how to work with people and learn how and grow and learn, then it becomes beautiful. Then it becomes precious. Then all the wounds that we have being slapped, if you will, of being waking up to, well, you know, is this really what you thought it was? Is it really when you learn how to, you know, work a thing with God? At first, it may be like some people get married, they think that the marriage is like, it's going to be the most beautiful thing in my whole life. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be great. And then they get married and go like, man, who is this ignoramus I married? It's kind of like, what is this? This is like horrible. And then they learn how to love. They learn how to give their life. They learn how to forgive. They learn how to bless. And then their marriage turns into something beautiful. But sometimes it's disappointing at first. So God's showing you how to grow and learn, and when reality hits us in the face about the imperfection of a thing we dream about, that God begins to show us how to work a thing and to be blessed in it, and you have a heart for that, so that's really beautiful. All right. Okay, hang on a second here. We are, give me a second. The offering's coming in. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing, God. Thank you, Lord, for Shannon, Father. Thank you for Shannon, $10. Thank you for that, Shannon. We just bless you, and thank you, Father, for I was listening to myself preach tonight and teach tonight, Shannon. If you missed the first part of the Revelation part of the show, you might go back and listen to that, because I thought about you a few times, you know, how that you know, Satan knows that, you know, that God's purpose is for us to talk to him. That's why he gave Jesus on the cross, because he saw in the beginning what we were supposed to be like, fellowshipping with God in the garden. That's God's design. That's God's purpose. He knows that more than we know it. So what does he do? Deception is he knows the truth, he knows that God is, and yet he lies to us. And okay. Of course, I can tell I'm still on, right? Anybody else saying that I'm off? I think I'm still on, right? Yes, you are on. Okay, thank you. All right, thank you for that. At least over the phone. Yes, okay. So I don't know how people are not hearing me right now. I get one person saying that, so maybe their phone went weird. My phone goes weird, then their phone goes weird. That makes sense. Thank you for that. All right, it could be the app. The app may be messing up. That's true. I'm sorry that's happening. I do try to fix things if I can. But maybe they got it fixed. Hopefully, I pray for them that they'll be able to get that. All right. Praying for Shannon. Yeah, Shannon. And I talked about how that, you know, Satan, what makes Satan a deceiver is that he knows we're supposed to hear from God. He knows we're supposed to be free. He knows we're supposed to, that we have, you know, all things possible through us, to us from God. And he knows that. He knew Jesus was the Messiah. He knew Jesus was the Christ. Human beings didn't even know that, but he knew it. And so somebody who knows the truth and deceives people saying that it's not true, he doesn't love you, you're being, you know, you got all these issues, that's deception because he knows the truth. And so I thought about that. I thought, man, what a revelation I got tonight. I've never heard that before. That was brand new to me. And I think God's really going to open you up to, you know, you have such a desire for truth. You have such a love for truth and a love for the Word of God and a love for teaching. Like one night I was teaching on something and you responded, you said, I love the way you taught on that particular thing. Like, I love it when teaching goes like this. You have a love for truth, man. It's beautiful. And God's going to confirm that to you and bring truth to you in ways that you'll never lose it, that you'll never, that it's going to be effective for you and make you effective in life in every way. In the market, and with people, the whole thing. All right, Greg, $10 from Arizona, my truck driving friend, brother. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for Greg. I thank you, Father, for that you start considering things being done, like when Christ died on the cross. When he died on the cross, he said, it is finished, it is done. And so there's this thing about, even though we don't see it done, that it's done, and that our faith has to start, you know, proclaiming that and declaring that it is done. My blessings are here. My family, my wife, my future, I have access to it. It's in the storehouse of heaven, and I'm connected to heaven, so it's mine. I've been teaching lately on how I'm seeing heaven more as a storehouse. It just happens to be a really expensive storehouse. So what's God storing up? Millions and millions of people. When the second coming comes, he's going to dump them all out on the earth, so to speak. You know, he's saving them up for the coming. He's going to dump them out all, every one of them on the earth, the angels and the people. That's going to be some millions and millions of people. So it's a storehouse. And yet it's, you know, it's much more than that. But it's by now, it's the one that we're talking about. It's a storehouse. Okay. And so, you know, that's what's going on with that. And so God's trying to develop our minds toward the Word of God and what it really is, what it really says. But yet heaven is a spiritual home, but it's not, but you know, God's going to have a new heaven and a new earth eventually, you know, so he's going to live on the earth. We are. Yeah. So it's going to be a beautiful thing. And God's going to, you know, really open you up to to the word of truth, to you're going to be a tradition breaker, to break traditions of men, and take on traditions that come from the Father, you know, that come from God. The traditions of man nullify the word of God, but the word of the Lord, you know, is the power of God unto salvation, according to Romans 1, I think 1:21, I think. And so God's showing you to declare his word, to decree his word, and speak those things that are not as though they were, saying that they are done. It is done because it's stored for you in heaven. Jesus has already paid for it. You don't have to pay for it. You just come into agreement with it and start, you know, declaring that what's stored up in heaven for Greg, nobody else's name but Greg's, in Jesus' name, it's yours. Amen. Anya, $10. Thank you, Anya, for the treasure. We've been talking about the treasure realm for 2022, Isaiah 22:22. I'm sending out cars January the 22nd. Going to have the post office mark them for the 22nd as a prophetic act. I'm sending forth a prophetic act about treasures, literal physical treasures, but treasures of all kinds, how we treasure. What does treasuring mean? What does the word treasure mean in every aspect of God's kingdom? And really opening up how to keep treasures, how to walk in the treasures, how to treasure the things that God's given us. You know, and so God, I'm just talking about that to you right now because I feel like this is what God's really going to open you up to. Because you treasure your family, you treasure the things of God, you do that. And God's going to expand your ability to treasure things. Right, he's going to expand your ability to treasure so that you can take in more treasure. The treasures of, you know, yes, finances, the treasures of the people, the treasures of the lost getting saved, the treasures of people getting healed, the treasures of all that, the treasury of family. Amen, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for the treasury realm for Anya. There in Maine, Father Jesus. And Marja, $30. Thank you, Marja, for that $30. Thank you, Lord, for the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of Christ Jesus that you've given her. You know, I just want to tell you this for some reason, that God has given you the spirit of wisdom and revelation by the Spirit of God. And that God's going to give you understanding on how to, God wants to bless you to be a blessing. In other words, God wants to pass his blessings down. He needs somebody to do it because not everybody has faith, Marjorie. Not everybody has faith to believe God for things, but you do. And so what does he do? He uses you to transport and transfer blessings to people that need it, right? You know, poor people, needy people, whatever. So you, when you start realizing that God wants you to be a blessing, wants you to be blessed to be a blessing, and when you realize that, when you see that, it's going to open you up to that so that God can begin to transfer that wealth down through you, to you, then through you. Right? Yeah. So so that's the revelation God's giving you. So that you can, you know, it opens up your receiver. The revelation of the Word of God opens up your receiver to receive the blessing to be a blessing. Right? You keep some of it, you give some of it away, you keep some of it, you give it away, and God keeps, and when you transfer the wealth, God wants to use you to be a transferer of wealth, you know, to give it to those who he wants to give it to that can't believe for it yet, that need help. And God's chosen you to do that. So in Jesus' name, open her up to that, Father, right now in Jesus' name. All right, John from I think Nevada. Where's he from? Should pray for pray for John tonight, Father. And thank you, Lord, for opening his heart to wisdom and revelation of the spirit of receiving the things of God, how to receive, how to. You know, because sometimes the Bible says the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. If Paul the Apostle says in Romans 1:21, I think it is, I'm not ashamed, John, he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God unto salvation. So when you start realizing that any way the enemy tries to shame us or make us feel ashamed of the gospel, in some part of it, like let's say we're ashamed of saying, oh, I believe in prosperity, or I believe in God wants to prosper. We're ashamed of that because we don't want people to think, you know, so we become man pleasers because we don't want to talk that stuff, you know, but anything that's scriptural and is of the Word of God, if we're ashamed of that thing in any fashion or form, then the power of it cannot work in our behalf, right? So Paul the Apostle said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. So as God shows you the gospel, and that the gospel is more than just going out and getting people saved, it's all that. It's finances, it's healing, it's deliverance, it's wisdom, it's knowledge, it's, you know, God helping us in our everyday life. It's all that. And when we find ourselves in shame about some of it because of some religious thing that try to get passed down to us, we have to reject those things and not be ashamed of the gospel because it is a power of God unto salvation. That's what releases the power of God. So the gospel and the things of the gospel, the things that Jesus paid for on the cross, can be, the power of it can be released to us. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. All right. So, awesome. Thank everyone for giving tonight. As far as I can tell, that's it. I prayed over everyone. Sorry for the mix-up between Angela Joy and Angela Lenham. We got it straight. Thank you, God, for that. Helping me with that one. So let me double check here and make sure that's it. Yep, that's it for tonight. Well, I'll get up early again tonight. Whoa, oh my gosh. Now that's, oh yeah, oh Jesus. Yes, and for Carmen, prayer for Carmen, and also Jeff and Yuki just gave. Thank you, Jeff and Yuki. Wow, awesome, cool. Yeah, we're going to pray for Carmen. Thank you, Carmen. Jeff and Yuke, $400. Thank you, Jeff and Yuke. God bless you. Hallelujah. Amen and amen and amen. For that transfer of wealth, anointing, and God stirring your spirit up about that. And so what I see is that exceeding abundantly above all you could ask or think or even imagine. And it's the whole realm about the measure realm. Good measure pressed down, shaken together, running over, God given to your bosom, or men given to your bosom. So what I see is God showing you how to increase the speed of your harvest. Increase the speed of your harvest. There's so many different ways to present this. It's amazing. But one of the ways the scripture talks about, it says that the reapers, in other words, the reapers are the people who, you know, after you plant the seed, the harvest, the crop grows and then you harvest it, right? So they're reaping it. But the reapers are gonna be leaping over the leaping over the planters, meaning that the acceleration of reaping and sowing. The harvest coming quicker and faster. God's showing you how to tap into that, where the harvest is, you know, like scripture says. Let me see if I can find the scripture. Hang on a second. Okay. There we go. Here. Yes. It's in Amos 9:13, the book of Amos, the Old Testament, Amos chapter 9, verse 13. It says, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when the reaper will be overtaken by the plowman. And the planter by the one reaping, treading grapes. New wine will drip from the mountains and flow from all from the hills. Let me see. The King James Version says, "Behold, the days are coming, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him that soweth seeds. And the mountains shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt." Let's read the New King James Version right here. Thank you. "Behold, the days are coming, saith the Lord, when the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him who sows seed." So that kind of shows you what I'm talking about there. So what we're talking about, you know, I don't understand all that. That's just one of the thoughts that I got. So it's how to, you know, seed time and harvest, which is biblical, been misused by many for years in the prosperity gospel, but it's still true. It's still, it said there will be a time when that happens. I believe that in the time that we're in, the era that we're in, that we're going to see things happen so fast. It's like time is going to be sped forward. Right? And when we know the scriptures are talking about that. Let me see if I can find this scripture too. Time. Somebody help me find that. Well, I don't know if I'm going to find this or not. I don't know where that scripture is at. Anyway, there's scripture, Jeff and you can talk about how that, you know, in the end days, the times are going to, things are going to happen faster, an acceleration of time. So, I don't know, it's just a season that we're in, but in that season, in some ways it talks about scripture that, because the days are so rough, they're so difficult, they didn't shorten the days, you know, that it would be difficult for them. So God's showing that, and even in that process, how things go quicker. And when you're in the blessing side of that, that happens faster also. Okay, Matthew 24:22. Thank you, Cheryl. Matthew 24:22. Let's look at that for a second. I don't know if that's it or not. We'll look and see. Matthew 24:22. Okay, hang on a second. All right, thank you, Cheryl. We'll see if that's the one I'm talking about. 24:22. Here we go. All right, 22. Let's go to 22. All right. Okay, for Galatians 8:23. "At that time there would be great tribulation and mess. If those days had not been cut short, nobody would be saved." We're talking about people being saved, right? But for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. Yeah. Also, let's see. What other one are you showing me there? Carmen. Okay. Carmen says Genesis 8:22. New International Version. "As long as the earth endures seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, days, day and night will never cease." Yeah, okay, thank you. I think that pretty well makes it plain. Hopefully there. So the seasons are going to go quicker. I know what the older I get, the faster everything goes. I don't know if that's just part of getting older or what, but it's really interesting. So, and God, because we're going to, you know, like when they were in Egypt and they were about to have the great wealth transfer. I mean, who could have set that up to happen that quick? You know, only God. Just a few months was all leading up to them as leaving Egypt, but leaving Egypt with the wealth of Egypt for their currency, and, you know, using the gold and silver to, you know, build the tabernacle. But the Ark of the Covenant was gold, right? And where did gold come from? It came from Egypt. They melted it and no longer had the image of Egypt on it, but it was still gold that came from God. So they took the gold and sanctified it, set it apart for the Lord. And so, anyway, but that happened, I mean, a few months of plagues, and then, boom, the transfer of wealth happened just that quick. It's just like, boom, boom, done. They walked out with millions and millions of dollars between all of the Israelites. They all received money, got money from their neighbors, right? So that it happened quick. And I don't even know what I'm talking about, Jeff and you, but that somehow or another, we're going to partake of that. We're going to see that. And you're going to see that. And God's going to show you how to walk in that. Very interesting. Okay. Very cool. I love this stuff, man. This is really awesome. All right. Thank you, guys. Really appreciate that. All right. Man, it's 11:30. It's not too early, but it's early. And, yeah. Okay, what am I doing here? Okay. Let me check one more time here. Thank you, everybody, for your giving. Thank you for your love for Jesus. Oh, yeah, pray for Carmen. Yes, thank you, Carmen. Thank you, Jesus, for Carmen, Father. We thank you, Father, for that breakthrough of provision, Father, that that you bring that in, which she can, which can be, you know, that control, you know, in other words, it's not out of control things. Things are not out of control. There's going to be situations and jobs and things that, that people do, they're going to be out of control. They're going to, like, take their life over, so to speak, because they can't, it's just what it does. And God's going to bring you that thing, that, that place where, you know, where the environment somewhat is controlled. You know, that'll be perfectly controlled by God, but it's controlled. It's not out of control, running down a hill that can't stop, or but it's controlled, a controlled environment that is, you know, a disciplined environment, an environment of quality, an environment of, you know, people caring about people and the higher quality of life. So I thank you, Jesus, for that with Carmen and bringing her into that new place, Father, in Jesus' name. And deliver her the goods, Father, that you promised her in Jesus' name. And that new vehicle of ministry, that new place, that divine appointment, Father, from you to as we enter into the midnight hour of that. The light that we have is the light that comes from God. We don't need the light from the world. We don't need the light from our government. And, you know, we have the light to help the we have, we see because God shows us, and the world is blinded and by the darkness because they can't see. And so we have the light of Jesus. Wow, it's amazing. Thank you, Lord, for bringing her into that realm of the light where it's no need for the exterior light, but for the light of Christ and within. And she, our dependency is from within. Everything is from within the Lord. Amen. In Jesus' name. And increase her, multiply her, Father, all the seeds she's sown, Father, into you in Jesus' name. Let it be increased and multiplied in Jesus' name. We bless it. We sanctify it. We set it apart, Father, for the work of the ministry, for the blessing of God in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Okay, I think that we did pretty good. Very interesting. Very interesting night. Hope you guys got some encouragement tonight, some help from above changes everything. Thinking correctly takes you to the right place. Thinking correctly, when you follow directions and you think correctly about where you're going, and you get there, you know, you get there. If you're not thinking correctly about what's going on, you get confused, you get lost, and it could take you 3 hours to get somewhere where it takes you 30 minutes. So the direction of the Holy Spirit, being led by the Holy Spirit, Yeah, it's everything. All right, y'all. Pray for me. I am still working all day long, and I'm loving it. Actually, it's kind of fun, kind of something different. But we're looking also at the next week or so pretties. So for PGN Studios, we'll pray about that. And, yeah, so a lot going on. But I think it's it for tonight, 11:32. Wow, we're getting off early tonight. All right, we love you guys. Thank you so much for everything you do. And God is good. I'm trying to come back here. All right. Awesome. Da, 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 da. Okay, hang on a minute. I'm checking out something. That's it for tonight for me. It's been great having you guys. Tanya and Dahl, hi. Hello, okay. This is Tanya and Dahl. Please keep our baby Alonzo and Uzziah in prayer. Alonzo has a bad crying. Oh, bless his heart. We are trusting God for healing. Uzziah is coming back, coming down with a cold, has a mild fever. Amen. Wow. Feed him pomegranate juice. That's my natural, you know, thing. When I start drinking real pomegranate juice, you know, from the pomegranate, oh, man, I don't get cold anymore. I think it's really, I guess you can feed that to babies. I don't know. But anyway, we pray. We always pray first, right? But as far as in the natural, it really, I mean, I don't even get colds anymore. And I think that I never thought about it till tonight, y'all, but that could be even for babies, too. I don't know. So you might try it. Because I've gotten colds all my life. I've never not gotten colds until I started drinking pomegranate juice. Right? Yeah. And it's, you know, pomegranates, juice it. Yeah, and get it in your system. It's amazing. So we thank you, Lord, for Alonzo and Uzziah, God, for the stomach ache. We just take authority over that in the name of Jesus. For baby crying, bless his heart, being in pain. So I hate that when it happens. No, we just hate that. We hate that. Fix that, Jesus. Help him, God. Soothe his stomach, Father, in the name of Jesus. And Uzziah, with a cold foot. We thank you, Lord, for showing them ways to reverse that. In Jesus, we just speak a reversal of that, Father. That precious baby, the colds are just miserable. I know I've had them over the years until the last several years where I've been taking, you know, I still haven't had a cold yet, y'all. Still haven't had one. Praise God. Yeah. All right. To Jesus for your precious blood over them. Thank you, Lord, for caring over your babies, for shepherding your children, Father. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke you, Satan, in Jesus' name. And I speak the blessing of God over the sweet baby dolls in the name of Jesus. And every hindrance be broken right now by the power of God. The anointing oil of Jesus be placed upon their head and speak peace to them. Let that whatever's causing their stomach to stop. In the name of Jesus. So Carmen says, can you pray for my daughter, Jessica? Dr. Stoner, she has cancer in the uterus. Oh no, she was this past week with abdominal pain. Oh, bless her heart. Oh God, cancer with people is just scary, really scary. Of course, echinacea is a really great thing. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a medical doctor. I don't prescribe anything. But the things I've used to deal with all kinds of things is echinacea. Yet they have it for children also. And believe it or not, it helps the immune system fight things, even cancer. Yeah, I'm not saying it's going to deliver from cancer. I'm going to say, I thank you, Jesus, for that. You're welcome. Thank you, Donald and Donnie. We appreciate you very much. Thank you. Yes, you're welcome. We pray for Jessica tonight, Father. God, I thank you for using all this to cause her to know Jesus in a way that is very personal, that she will know Jesus and the care of God and the love of God in a very personal way. She will feel comforted like the warm blanket of his love around her belly, her abdominal area. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. And show her ways, Father, to fight this cancer in the natural ways and spiritual ways. And then the doctors, to bless them, give them what they need. It's, very correct information in Jesus' name. All the lies of the enemy be exposed around the situation with Jessica. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Breathe your breath of life in her abdominal. Out of the belly comes rivers of living water. Father, in Jesus' name, hallelujah. Now, I see somebody who's pregnant. I don't know who's pregnant, what the pregnancy is about, or what's going on with it, but I see God taking care of some issues with the pregnancy. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for that. Okay, pregnancy. As I'm giving that word about pregnancy, Nicole sends 8888. So we thank you, Lord, for 888. Thank you, Nicole, for that. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for life-giving, for life-bearing, for increasing and multiplying. In Jesus' name, for whole new beginnings, Father. I believe this is the year where we're going to see the treasuries of new beginnings for people. Because the sooner we let God wash away the grief and the sorrow of our pain and of our suffering, which are very natural and normal, that he does it correct, that he does it timely, that it opens up the door for quick recoveries and good solid recovery and blessings for new beginnings, Father, in Jesus' name. Let this be a new beginning for Nicole this year, Father, a brand new beginning, a life changing experience for her, Father. In the name of Jesus, we declare and decree your word come to pass in her behalf, Father. Amen. Hallelujah. Let it be done. All right. Cool. Awesome. Okay, thank you. All right. We will pray and do whatever. I'm in agreement with you guys. Thank you, Lord, for everything you're doing. Hallelujah. Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we just open up our hearts to you tonight. We thank you for the year of treasures, the treasuries of David, keys to the house of David, provision realm, Father. You gave David provision for his son to build the temple. We thank you, Jesus, that you're building the temple. And we thank you for the provision to build that temple. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Even the studio, I hadn't thought about that. even the studio, the provision to build the studio, Father. We thank you for however you want to do that. Buy it, remodel it, buy it like it, you know, whatever. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for letting that be done. Let it be done. All right, y'all. I guess I'm going to call it a night. It's been great being with you. Thanks for everything you do. All right. So thank you. It's almost midnight here, getting close. I guess we're going to call it a night tonight. All right. God bless everybody. Thank you so much for all your giving, all your loving. And when you give everything you do, give it as unto the Lord in love. And he will bless you and make it come back to you with much love. Amen.